It was supposed to be a Sabbath day like any other in the synagogue in Capernaum. The local believers would gather. Conversations would rotate between the usual subjects. Discussion of the news of the day. What's new with your children? Are your parents doing well? Have you been catching enough fish? Capernaum was a fishing village after all. Is your household staying safe from the plague? Because some things will never change. Then at the appointed time, the crowd would have prayers, a reading of scriptures. A rabbi would offer thoughts on those scriptures and how they apply to the lives of the listeners. This is a place far away and a long time ago, yet very recognizable to us and the many other people of faith that gather for worship and prayers. Everything that day was going along normally. Maybe the message was a good one, maybe not so much. They can't all be winners. But then a stranger gets up and begins to teach, but teaching in a way they've never seen. There was a certain heaviness to the words, the message more meaningful, the delivery full of power. Rabbis had authority due to proving themselves over years of dedicated study that for some of them would start as young as when they were 5 or 6 years old. But this person had authority because he actually knew what he was talking about. For the people, strange scriptures suddenly made sense. Stories came alive in new ways, and the words stuck to the hearts of everyone there. The people started to have changed beliefs, and more importantly, they had changed lives. There were many questions they had. Who was this man? Where did he come from? How had he learned so much? Who taught him? When can we hear him speak again? How do we tell everyone? And while the crowd whispered their questions, one man shouted. But this one was less of a question and more of a challenge. What have you to do with us, Jesus of Nazareth? Have you come to destroy us? While the crowd was probably taken aback and stunned into silence, the teacher didn't hesitate. He stood in confrontation with this man and ordered an evil spirit leave him. And it did. Now the crowd was really going, who is this guy? Not only an extraordinary teacher, but one with power over evil spirits? Not to mention, why is someone coming to worship with an evil spirit anyways? Things as simple as common as menstruating or having mold in your house made you unclean enough to be uninvited from worship. So how does someone with a demon walk in here and say prayers to God and talk about whether they're with their friends when they have a demon in them? Those who come here for worship on Sunday mornings expect the normal small talk and prayers and preaching. We hope that someone in the congregation learns something new or might be moved enough to make a small change in their life. While our worship is supposed to be pleasing to God, I think I'll sheepishly admit that I really hope that you like it too. Maybe so much you might tell a friend. But we really don't expect something to happen like what happened in that synagogue so long ago. When we gather week after week, year after year, it's just human nature that things get normalized. We are creatures of habit. Recognizing patterns and being able to predict what happens next is really important to us. Some would argue that's what makes us humans. Change without control is called stress, and our bodies will resist change so much that it can make us physically ill if we don't have any helping coping strategies. So traditions and rituals eventually become routine, and we stop seeing the magic. We become so comfortable, there is even a trope of people that sleep through church. Some of you may know that I missed you last Sunday because my family was traveling to the Teton Mountains in Wyoming. There are things I knew to pack for the outdoors adventures: a first aid kit, extra pair of good socks, plenty of water. But being in a new place, there are new dangers to prepare for. I had to find and learn how to use bear spray. I read about what to do if I encountered moose or bison. I had learned how to recognize unfamiliar species of snakes and which ones were venomous and which ones were safe. Such things are necessary before venturing out into the wilderness. But when was the last time that be prepared and expect the unexpected were mottos that apply to a Sunday? We find a worship style that works out well, and we repeat it every week. The days go by, the weeks go by, the months go by, and the only question we have is, where did the time go? Traditions turn into routine, but routine can turn into obstinance. A problem with American Christianity is that many people think that church become a place that only welcomes those who at least pretend to have it all together. A place where you aren't allowed to disagree. You have to look presentable. It's embarrassing if our phone goes off in worship or we forget to mute our mic on the church Zoom. I appreciate so much that Lawrenceville First is really good about giving grace for all of us who fall somewhere in between the line, somewhere along the line of being a little imperfect or being a total mess. But even then, while we are good at learning how to give grace, I think it would be a little confounding if I had an evil spirit that decided to reveal itself in front of all of you here today. I think some of us would scatter and head for the hills, myself included. Expect the unexpected is perfectly fine when there's a chance of encountering wild animals or maybe sudden change of weather, but we don't really want to pack flares or a tourniquet for a Sunday. But there might be a little bit of irony is that one of the reasons we gather here every 7 days is that there is a chance that what happened on that fateful day so long ago might be replicated here in our midst. If we are going to worship and commune with God, then we have to account for the possibility that God might have something specific to say to us. I think for many, that may be frightening. Perhaps we have a little bit of that man in the Capernaum temple with us. Not to suggest that anyone here is demonically possessed, but there are things in our lives that aren't God that hold power over us. Is it an anger that never seems to go away? Is it anxiety or self-doubt or fear that holds us in place so we cannot grow? Is it being selfish or prideful? Is it a new wound or maybe even an old scar that sting our soul when someone makes a small remark? Is it financial difficulties? Is it the weight of some bad days or a deafening silence of depression? All of those things that keep us awake at night, not just tossing and turning in our beds, but tossing and turning away from God. The distortions in the neurotransmitters and the synapses of our lumpy brains hold on tight to us as they rip apart our self-esteem, our relationships with others, and our worldview. They would certainly cry out if a Jesus showed up that came to destroy them. As an aside, I just want to say clearly that I'm not advocating for us to abandon the field of medicine in favor of solely faith healing. A doctor that gets it and a therapist that gets you is definitely a blessing from God. A healthy prayer practice shouldn't interfere with taking your prescriptions and eating your vegetables. But what if we open the possibility that worship and wonder shouldn't just be the title of the children's moment of the service, but a goal we should prepare for every week? If you join us this Sunday and you talk with a friend or learn something new from someone you don't know as well, or just reorient yourself before the week ahead so that you're a little more patient, listen a little more, that's a fantastic way to spend your morning. I think God smiles at that. But there's a prayer that we recite every week, and in that prayer there is a line, "On earth as it is in heaven." Today's text is a reminder of that. This is a comfortable church, and there is a comfort in having a normal church in an abnormal season. Every act is an invitation and an opportunity. When we looked at the stained glass of our sanctuary, it is an invitation to see our community on the other side of the window. When we pray and say our confessions, that is an opportunity to recognize that God's grace is boundless. When we share our concerns with each other, that is an invitation that we are to not walk this journey alone. When we have a small piece of bread and a sip of grape juice, that is an opportunity to meet God in whatever time or place we are in. Would you pray with me, please? God, we thank you for this opportunity and an invitation that we have to gather with you, not just on Sundays, but every day. We apologize that some days our prayers are just motions, or that some days we don't even pray at all. But we thank you that you are here and show us grace regardless. Help us to have an encounter with you here in this place, whether it be as dramatic as a Capernaum synagogue or in just the peaceful quiet that our soul longs for. Amen.